محمد.
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنزلين لهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبلى إلى النار. اللهم كن لوليك من حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى أقوائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ونبيلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الطوبى وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
محمد. Torah was revealed upon Prophet Musa. We find that it was in the form of tablets, al-wah, which Quran says. Surah Al-Kahf talks about three incidents. This is one of the incidents. The other is regarding the companions of the cave, then Zulqarnayn and Hazrat Khizr. And all three stories that are mentioned in the surah are for us to learn lessons from. Now, when Torah was revealed to Prophet Musa, it was in the form of al-wah, and we find that in it, many of the events which were to unfold upon Prophet Musa were mentioned. How Pharaoh will be ruined, how that destruction is to take place, and many of the incidents were mentioned over there. Now this is a lesson to ourselves first, especially the organizers of programs or those who have a leading role. Now this is a lesson to them, especially myself first. And that is, when it comes to knowing a little bit more or serving a little bit more, it may be that someone performs a lot of worship, maybe a lot of recitals, du'as, recitation, or may possess that leading role in whatever way. So it means that if that leading role is provided, there is more chances of falling into traps and danger. Now here Prophet Musa, to him these alwah were revealed. And at that time what happens is that Prophet Musa, there is a little bit of a twist in him. He says to himself that Allah regards him as someone much more exalted than others, as a result of which he has revealed this Torah unto him, and he has informed what is going to unfold in the forthcoming days and future. So everything was mentioned for the future, for the past and everything. Now at this time when this Ujb was about to fell, or Musa was about to fell in this trap of pride, Allah instructs Jibreel and says, Adrik, Adi, Musa, Qabna, Yahlik. That is, Jibreel, now descend and save Musa before he ruins himself. That is, if he falls into this trap of Ujb and pride, then he will be distanced from me. And I don't want that to happen. It says, Adrik, Adi, Musa, Qabna, Yahlik. That before he ruins himself, go and teach him. Tell and inform him that he is not the only one who possesses all that knowledge. And from there, that information of that he has to go to the Mediterranean, meet someone who is Khizr, who has sciences and knowledge which Prophet Musa has no knowledge of. So then they come to that point, and then Prophet Musa comes to this and acknowledges that there is someone else on this land who knows things which he does not know. So that is how Allah helps people out when they fell in this trap of Ujb. So here that story starts as to how Prophet Musa is educated or informed in a way by Prophet Khizr. Or for example, we look into the story of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Here Prophet Ayyub, he is a reflection of patience. And it is mentioned several Ayyub, that is, possess the patience of Ayyub. There wasn't anyone much more patient than Prophet Ayyub. Inna wajadnahu sabiran ni'mal abd innahu awwab. Quran says that we found him very patient. Now here we find that Allah gave all that wealth, the livestock, farms, lands to Prophet Ayyub. Instantly the livestock, all of them, they died. He says, I am patient. whatever Allah afflicts upon me, befalls upon me, I'm patient. On another occasion, some of his children, the best of the children who he was blessed with, they pass away. So still here, he says that God, I'll be patient. That is, this bala which has unfolded on me, I'll be patient. And then what happens, Ayyub himself, he fell ill. Now when he falls ill, people, they start talking and mocking about Prophet Ayyub, that there is something wrong in him, that everything negative is unfolding for him. Livestock gone, lands gone, children gone, and now he himself, it says hell. Here what he does is that, he says to Allah, you gave me livestock and you took it away from me, I was patient. You gave me sons and you took them away from me, I was patient. And then, I cannot tolerate this mocking and talking of people, this back chat people have for me. This one, it's difficult for me. I cannot bear. Immediately, wahy is revealed. Says that, Ayyub, what do you say? Was it you who were patient, or did I give that tawfiq to you, that favor to you to be patient? It was me, Allah, who gave you that patience. You didn't possess anything on your own. It was given to you, the blessings. They were taken away from you. Even the patience was given by me. That is what Allah teaches them here. For this, looking into the performance of Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, now we say that it was Sabr Ayyub, but we find the patience of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam much higher than Sabr Ayyub. It was mentioned that بِتِلْكَ مُنَاجَاتِ اللَّتِي كَانَتْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ مُوسَى بْنَ عِمْرَانَ, by the whispered prayers between Musa and Allah. But we have prayers of Musa ibn Ja'far in the prison for 14 years with Allah. So in weight, they carry much more weight. Ma'asumeen, they are much higher. Even these little Tarki Awla, which we say that they shouldn't exist in a Ma'asum, they did not exist in Ma'asumeen, the 14 Ma'asumeen which we talked about. Even these little shortfalls never existed in them. If you look into the strategy of Karbala, even when Amir al-Mu'mineen is hit, no way did they leave. Prophet Yunus left. They did not leave. They were patient until the last moment. Never did they say that this one I cannot tolerate. So that is the difference between an Imam and a Prophet, that even the short flaws or shortfalls that we have in the Prophets, they do not exist in Ma'asumeen alayhi salam. In Dua Arafah, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this one is the other Arafah, which is quoted from Abu Abdullah. He here says that Ilahi man kanat mahasinuhu masawi, that is, someone whose good is bad. Now if he does bad, then how is that going to be? Now to understand what exactly this means, my Imam presents himself before Allah. That is, someone who has done good and this good of his is bad. To understand this, we do good in our life. Now all the good we do throughout all of our life. Now compare all of that good with a very small fraction or a minute or one rakat prayer of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It cannot be a match at all. So we find that although we've served for a life long, that carries no weight compared to the good which is done by Ma'asumeen. So it means that confronting good, we have bad. So this is what Imam says, that someone whose good is bad, how detestable his bad will be. So we have to have that. Now when we have this mindset that all we possess is nothing and all who possesses everything is him, we present ourselves before him. That way we will never fall into these traps of ojo. So if it is services or a leading role given to some, and that too is by the grace of Allah, there's nothing to be proud, there's nothing to be to raise our necks in that. It is something which Allah has given, and there is a strong quality control behind that, and we have to give an answer for that, that we, an opportunity was given to us, did we serve or did we not? So that is what is mentioned over here. Now when we come to see as to how we don't fall into these traps of urge, says you have to break yourself. This heart of ours has to break so that it is presented before Allah. That way people, they will not fall into the traps of urge. For example, about Abdullah and Hussein, after all that big sacrifice which he gave. Now, on the day of Ashura, and the last moment, that is the Asr of Ashura, that was the height of all that sacrifice which he had to give. That is, all he had was given, it's only his life that is remaining here. And at this point he says, Ilahi ridhan bi ridhak. That is, I'm pleased with your pleasure. If your pleasure was that I be killed in this way, I'm pleased with it, I'm happy with it, I'm satisfied with it. Doesn't say that this one I cannot, it's too much for me. That is Abu Abdullah Hussein. Or Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Fuztu wa Rabb al-Ka'ba. That is, everything was given, everything was taken, now this little bit that is remaining, Fuztu wa Rabb al-Ka'ba. That too has been given to the Lord of Kaaba, and now he says that I sought that prosperity by giving away this little bit that was remaining with me. So, not to fall into the traps of Ujb, we have to have that mindset that we do not possess anything. And if you want something from Allah, with that same mindset we can get. Or if you want something from our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu
shariif.
It's the same thing. That is, that kuyama shikasta dilan, shikasta dili mi kharan dubas. That is, a broken heart is bought in our markets. Nothing else. That is, if a heart is broken, he says we'll buy it. May that be Allah, may that be this wali, you know, both of them. And you've heard the story of Ali ibn Mahziyah. A noble person, he wants to meet Imam. His only desire, a lifelong desire, was that I want to see the Imam. Travels for Hajj for 19 years with that only wish that I want to see the Imam. Now 19 years traveling with that wish, and that is not granted to him. And at the after the 19th Hajj, he says that now I will not go for Hajj. If I was to meet the Imam, I would have met him by now. Now that it is not meant to meet him, I will not go. So now he is broken. This person who was a little bit with a raised neck that I will definitely meet the Imam, I've traveled for Hajj for so many years. This year he says, I will not travel and I will not go there. And in his dreams, he is informed that this year you come for Hajj. Ali ibn Mahziyah will come. Next day he was extremely happy that this message was given, come this year and we'll meet you. Avails and makes some of his friends ready so that they all travel for Hajj. He comes, performs the Amal, the Manasik, and after all the Manasik, now it's time for him to meet the Imam. Doesn't mean nothing happens. Performs the final bits of the Manasik, nothing happens. Now he is broken heart. That even this year, a Hajj came, a Hajj passed, and he has to return. The group in which he was to join, to go back, they say that we are leaving tonight. Someone comes and says to him in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, that you separate yourself from the group and we are going to meet the Imam. That is, after 20 years. But because his heart broke on this 20th year, then he was acknowledged, he was accepted, he was summoned by the Imam. And then the vision takes place between, visit takes place between him and the Imam. And the first thing which Imam says to him when he meets, says that why were you so late? Imam says to Ali ibn Mahziyah, why are you so late? He says, I've been coming, he was after excuses that it was such and such, it was what and what not. Imam says, this delay was from you. Otherwise, Imam is always present. He wants to see. He is ready to meet. So the hijabs, the barriers are from us. And then Imam says, the reason why you were delayed, it's because you got too much occupied in this world, in these worldly affairs. As a result of which, this merchandise, business dealings, breaking, making of ties, etc. So all that was the delay in you coming to me. Otherwise, Imam says, I've been waiting for you for the past 20 years. Not that Ali ibn Mahziyah was waiting for the Imam for the past 20 years. So that happens only when that heart breaks, and if that ujb is present. Now for the last 19 years, he was satisfied that I will definitely meet the Imam. For that reason, Imam never met him. So we have to have that feeling that we have approached with a broken heart, and only then Ajallah Rai Shahri, he's got a book on these sacred sites. He says one of the ulama is still alive. And it is said that when you go to Hajj or even Umrah, when you cast your look upon the Kaaba for the first time, even we have riwayah which certify this, say that whatever wish, whatever hajat you may be having, if you have that in your mind and then you look at Kaaba for the first time in this visit of yours, it will be given to you. That dua will be accepted. Now this person, he says that I was coming to my hotel from Masjid al-Haram, and that hustle bustle, that busy roads, it wasn't as such. I saw that everything is just as if haunted. Nothing exists, no cars, no hustling, no honking. Of haunts, nothing at all. And all of a sudden, I see a luminous face coming towards me. And then that niqab on his face, the face cover, was he unturned it and I saw him. I said, SubhanAllah, I was just shocked and amazed to see the beauty. And then says the vision closed and I saw that I'm in the same Makkah with all that hustle bustle. And he says, what happened was that when he came to Makkah and when he was to see that Kaaba, his dua was, Allahumma arinit talat al-rashida, that Allah make it as such that I see that beautiful face of the Imam. So he says that I just wished from Allah to have a look, a glance at that face, and that glance was granted to me. And had I wanted much more than that, much more than that would have been given to me. So what we ask and how we ask and how it is presented is what is given to us. If that presentation of du'as is not right, not with a good mood and manner, then we don't have to expect that we will get what we have to get. So this is with a broken heart. That is, ujb has to fell apart, or even in, on that day of Ashura, we find that these companions of Abdullah, they were so sincere. Among them is Hilal bin Nafir. Among those companions, when it was time for Zuhr, Imam performs his Zuhr prayers and it is Salat al-Khawf. Salat al-Khawf means that if it's Zuhr, it should be 4 rakat. Salat al-Khawf is like Salat al-Qasr. Instead of 4 rakat, you'll say 2 rakat. And in Salat al-Khawf, what happens is that if you've got an army of 100 men, Imam, he leads his prayers, 50 of the men will join him, and Imam, he will be quite fast. The 50 men, they will finish their whole turak, the entire turakat in the first rakat of the Imam, and Imam, he will just lengthen his second rakat a little bit, a few seconds more, so that the second group joins in and joins the Imam in the second rakat, so that they, both the all the 100 soldiers, they perform their Jamaat prayers with the Imam. So how fast this was, maybe 2 minutes, maybe less than 2 minutes, this whole 2 rakat prayer, or maybe 3 minutes. Hilal bin Nafir, to protect and to be a shield for the Imam, because Imam, he is saying his prayers in front. He comes and stands in front of Imam as a shield, and to protect the Imam, there was a whole bunch of arrows and spears that were shot at Hilal bin Nafir. Imam, he is about to finish, the Imam Hilal just turns and says in a very feeble, weak voice, Imam, can you be a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, as I cannot hold on anymore. He was drenched in his blood, dehydrated totally. He couldn't withstand all the pain, the spears that were in him. And when Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he fell on the ground, to the ground. Imam lifts his head. Now this person who is dying, eyes almost closed. First thing he says to Imam, our faith, Ya Aba Abdullah, says, was I loyal, Ya Aba Abdullah? Imam says, Naam wa anta amami fil jannah. Yes, you gave whatever you had. Naam wa anta amami fil jannah, and you will be in front of me, with me in the heaven rest wherever I am. Imam doesn't mean in front of the Imam, because the Imam is always in the front. may not be in this world, may not be in the grave, may not be in the hereafter. Imam is always in the forefront, before us, in front of us. In front of us means that there will be no barrier or hijab between you and me. You will be with me, I will be with you in this aspect. So the reason why he came to that rank, and the reason why Imam says, Naam wa anta amami fil jannah, because there is no hoj, no pride, no self-want, no desire, nothing. Whatever he had, he just gave away for the Imam. That is hoj not being present in an individual. And here says that, Adrik abdi Musa qabla an yahlik Jibreel. Now descend and save Musa before he ruins himself. Because that pride is starting to grow. And that is the danger zone. So, for those possessing this leading role, we have to be very careful that if we have been blessed with certain tasks and assignments, there's nothing to be proud of. It's just a duty that is being done. And the duty, if it's done, the more the sincerity and khulus in it, the better it will be accepted and the more tawfiqat will be granted. And it is going to be something which is going to be enduring forever. And forever it's going to be a bawiyat of salihat for each one of us. This is one. Secondly, in that majlis we were before, but for those of you who were not present, because we had that topic on Akhirah and heading towards Akhirah, just some final touches. And that is, children who die at a young age, what happens to them? We talked about mustasqafin, we talked about kuffar, we talked about munafiqin, we talked about mu'mineen and all that. For mu'mineen, marhum Shaykh Saduq, in his book Amali, he says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ascends to the heavens in that night of Mi'raj, there he was shown everything. He says that I come to a point and I see an old man with a lot of children sitting. And I ask Jibreel, who is this? Jibreel says, this is your father Ibrahim. And these children around him are those children who died at a young age. Or even this quote that we have from the Prophet, that inni ubahi bikum wal umam walau bisibt, that I will be proud of my nation, being a Muslim, even if it's a stillborn baby, he is part of my nation and he will be a means of my pride in the hereafter. Says these children who die at a young age, Prophet Ibrahim is the custodian, he takes the charge of these children, he raises them, he nourishes them, he educates them. And we do find that there are quotes which say that in the hereafter, إِنَّ أَطْفَالَ شِيَاطِنَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تُرَبِّيهِمْ فَاطِمَةً. That is, children of mu'mineen who die at a young age, they are raised, nourished, educated by Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. And now says that, how do we combine the two ahadiths? There says it's Prophet Ibrahim and Sarah. Here says it's her. Marhum Majlisi, he says that based upon the caliber and the iman of mu'mineen and their children, they will be given either to Hazrat Zahra or to Ibrahim and Asiya. So if it was a mu'min of a very high caliber, band A for example, they will be given to her and she will nourish them, she will raise them, she will educate them. Or every child will be given to her and she will give those who need to be educated by Hazrat Ibrahim to him. Now how come, what does it mean over here that do they need nourishment like we need food and drink in this dunya? Nourishment over there is that spiritual side of affairs that continue to grow. And it says that when we will check in and we will meet them, we will find that they may be the same age, they have passed away, but mentally they have grown a lot. That is that spiritual nourishment which is provided to them from Masumeen. And we do find this in our teachings, that people who did not learn to read Quran in this world, says ulama fi qabrih, Quran will be taught to them in their graves. Not that they learn Quran in their graves and then their ranks will be elevated. No, ranks will not elevate, ranks will remain the same. They will learn Quran. As a result of that, the regret will increase, that I wish we had learned Quran while we were alive in the dunya, so that we could have benefited a lot more in the hereafter. So this is regarding the children of Mu'mineen as to how they can be blessed, how they are nourished and educated, raised in the hereafter in Barzakh by Hazrat Ibrahim and Asiya or by Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in these last nights of the sacred month of Ramadan help us understanding these glorious sayings, help us in increasing our ma'rifah, help us with increasing with the bond, the love that we have towards Ahlul Bayt and Quran. And may it never ever happen that we are separated from Quran and Ahlul Bayt, even for a moment. May that be in this dunya and barzakh or beyond. All those who are ill and ailing and have requested for du'as, Ya Allah, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, Allah elevate their ranks, forgive them, and our children to be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Wa'atim fi faraji maulana sahib al-sama.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Assalamu alaikum.